It's stage 10 of the Tour de France, and Sammy Bennett has pulled it off. He's pulled off the big one. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Welcome back, folks, to another Tour de France Roadman podcast. It's stage 10 of the Tour de France, and it's a doubly important podcast. One, Irish eyes are smiling. We have Mr. Sam Bennett pulling on the green jersey. But more importantly, I didn't think it was going to happen. Sammy, you absolute legend. He's pulled off the big one. He's only gone and rolled a stage win in the Tour de France today, and the young lad was in tears on the finish line. You dream of it, but you never think it will happen, he said before breaking down. Bennett rolled Caleb Ewan and Peter Sagan. Sam, you legend. Ireland is celebrating tonight. Irish cycling is, at least. I'm joined in today's Tour de France podcast by a very special guest, none other than Mr. Tyler Hamilton. I'm going to catch up with Tyler in a second, but before we do, I want to remind all you guys that the Tour de France podcast, along with all our other podcasts, it's brought to you by Patreon.com. You can go and you can buy me a pint of beer, you can buy me a coffee. It's the way we fund the podcast. I have this slogan, I have it written right in front of me in the podcast studio at the moment, and it's do it now. It's to stop me procrastinating and to get me to just hit tasks and do them right now. So I will ask you to channel this do it now energy. And if you've been thinking about the podcast contributing to support it, I'd say please just pause this for 1 second and do it now. Get it done now, because the contribution, although it might be small to you, it really makes a difference and it helps the podcast go forward and grow. I've got Mr. Tyler Hamilton to pick the bones off this stage 10 of the Tour de France podcast. At times, the audio with Tyler isn't brilliant and it might seem like we're talking over each other a little, and that's just because of the lag. So it's definitely amazing content from Tyler, and that's why I didn't hesitate about including it, but just bear with it. If it does sound a little bit jittery at times, it cleans up. It's only once or twice throughout the course of it. Tyler is in Montana, and I don't know if it was my internet or his, but yeah, it wasn't the best at times. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Tyler Hamilton. Yeah, cool. I'm excited to talk about stage 10 of the tour. So, Tyler, are you watching much of it? Have you been catching every stage?
You know, I watched it over the weekend. Yesterday was a rest day. Here was Labor Day. And I was working this morning, so now I didn't see it, but I just read the results. Heard that your boy Sam Bennett won. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He was in loads of tears on the finish line. He literally didn't know what to say.
Oh, that's cool.
What's that like? What's that feeling like winning a stage of Tour de France?
Oh yeah, man, special. I mean, yeah, dream come true. Yeah, just feels kind of like a dream, really. And like, is this real? Is this really happening? And then, you kind of reflect back up on it and like, wow, that just happened. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's actually happening until after you're done.
You're back in 2003. Was your first stage win?
My first and only one, 2003. Yes. Yep.
Pau to Bayonne, is it? How do you pronounce that? Bayonne.
Bayonne, yeah, yep.
Beat Eric Zabel.
Yeah, I was in a breakaway that day. Yep.
That's pretty cool.
I finished alone. Yeah.
How did the finish play out?
The finish that day, yeah, it was just kind of a solo break. I bridged up to the early break of the day, which had a teammate of mine. And at Nicky Sorensen, who's a director now of one of the teams over there. And he dropped back, kind of pulled me after the break, and then drove the breakaway. We hit the last major climb of the tour and I attacked. And yeah, and then just kind of did a time trial for the next.
That's awesome.
I think it was 90K or something. Yeah. So luckily they gave me a little bit of a buffer. So
I could see with Bennett today, and like, was it the same for you when Bennett almost today, it was like the day it was in his head vindicated, I've made it, like this is it,
like all the hard work has paid off for this moment. You could see he was in floods of tears, like on the finish line. He was saying, like, you dream of it, but you never think it will happen. And then he started trying to thank people that have got him there, and he just like broke down in tears.
He's an incredible rider. Incredible rider, and I mean, we're going to see a lot of big things from him in the future, for sure. For sure, yeah. nice for a stage win for Ireland, right?
Yeah, he's a good dude. I came up racing against him a lot, and he came up. He raced with On Post for a long time, and like so many times, he nearly walked away. On Post are like Conti level, and he really struggled to make that leap from Conti up to Pro Conti. And I think he'd probably in his head quit 5 or 6 times and just walked away from it and came back. And then he just got that move to NetApp Enduro up to Pro Conti and kind of took off for him when he won that stage of Tour of Britain. But it wasn't like an overnight success. He worked hard for it.
That's great. Yeah, he seems like a hardworking, kind of nose to the grindstone type of person, type of rider. And I mean, yeah, he's been through a lot of adversity. And I don't know, you know, from the outside, I don't know, but he seems like a really nice guy. I was over in Ireland a few years ago and they were speaking really highly of him. And yeah, so that's exciting. And then, you know, kind of neat too to beat his old teammate from last year.
Yeah. It doesn't seem cool. Like they're the best buddies. Yeah, I don't know. You never see
a rivalry like that, you know. But yeah, it's been an exciting tour to watch so far. Yeah. I mean, I watched a couple of mountain stages over the weekend. Those were awesome. Really cool to watch.
Who have you got your eye on this year? Podjakar is kind of catching me.
Yeah, I mean, he's riding incredible. Really, the whole level, like, I was reading a little bit and just about the whole race. And yeah, I mean, the level's insane, right? You know, I think Pogacar, is that how you say his last name?
I haven't a clue how you say it.
Fastest time ever up the Perisord. And, you know, that the final climb on Sunday's race was just insane. They were going for it. They were fast. And man, they're lucky they didn't crash there at the top, going for those KOM points, or for the time bonus at the top there.
How does Podjakar's numbers stack up against when you were racing and your sort of numbers you were hitting? I think you done 6.5.
Yeah, what was it, 6.5?
6.5 for 24 points.
Yeah, wow, that's impressive. Yeah, he's riding fast. He's riding strong. Yep.
Like, is that stacking up against the sort of numbers you guys were doing?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like, yeah. He's one to keep your eye on, you know, in this tour for sure. I don't think they can really give him much more freedom to go up the road by himself.
Because he's only 44 seconds down.
How old is he?
He's 21 years old.
Wow.
But he lost 44 seconds, or he's only 44 seconds off yellow at the moment, but he lost 90 seconds in the crosswind day.
Yeah, that'll happen, you know, when you don't have, when you just get, you know, it sounds like he made that first split, and then, was he coming back from a crash or something like that, but, there were some tricky roundabouts, and just out of position at the wrong time, it can just really bite you in the butt, and that's what happened. It sounds like it happened to a few riders there.
What's that like, Tyler?
You make that initial split, and then you think, okay, you're going to make it to the finish with the leaders, and then it sounds like he had an accident, but some people might have just like let up for a second and drifted a little bit too far back, and then go through a few tricky roundabouts, go through a town where it gets really strung out, and then it's crosswind, and boom, next thing you know, you're off.
What's the stress levels like, Tyler, on a day like that?
Crosswinds are nasty, you know, especially for like the climbers, especially the pure climbers. Constant battle for position. You're never not fighting. And when you're not fighting, like you've basically given up, because you have to be always fighting to stay up front. And if you lose that focus, you're going to find yourself at the back and really spit out the back soon thereafter. Crosswinds are just nasty. They can just rip a peloton into pieces and, you know.
Like today.
In a few minutes. Yeah, you know, I missed today's stage, but, you know, it sounded like it could potentially have been really bad, but it sounds.
Just so many towns today. So, like, they went in through.
Oh, really?
It looked like every couple of minutes there was a new town.
Yeah, and you go through a town, it's all protected from the crosswinds, right? And then you leave that little village, you know, and if it's pretty exposed without a whole lot of, like, big trees, boom, you come out of the town and it's full-on crosswind, you know, no coverage from buildings or from trees, anything like that. You know, it sounds like they were right on the ocean.
Like Bernie Eisel was talking about today, he said he's just not a fan of this year's Tour de France route. He just thinks it's too stressful. Like he said, today's stage was just unnecessarily stressful. They didn't need to bring it through like 50 towns or whatever they brought it through. Like he's saying it ends in a bunch sprint anyway. So like why put the riders at risk?
Yeah. I mean, I'd agree with him. They put the riders through a lot for sure. You know, in the first week there, you know, they could have probably made stage one a little bit kind of, or was that stage two with the, was it stage one where everybody was falling?
It was just yeah, that was
kind of a complicated stage.
That was up called the Ez, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, some of the early stages could be a little bit more straightforward because, you know, you have almost 200 riders, all fresh, you know, everyone has the chance to be successful on stage one. So everyone's like, just rearing to go, and so I feel like they should make stages a little bit less complicated, a little bit more straightforward, less roundabouts. You know, it's hard for the peloton to just go through that on, you know, go through so many of those early in the state in the race like the Tour de France.
And I guess we're seeing the last few years as well. I'm not sure what you think about this. It's the GC riders have a lead out train to keep their guys safe, and the sprinters have their lead out train going. So it's just extra people fighting for space on the road.
Yeah. And, you know, if it was a little bit more straightforward, you know, some of the teams with GC riders would feel okay kind of drifting back a little bit and letting the sprinters teams kind of control it a little bit. But, you know, when it's, when you're just fighting to stay up front because it's too dangerous to be, you know, 20, 30, 40 riders back, like, it's just chaotic and it creates a lot of stress. You know, my last tour was like, what, 2004? And yeah, I mean, I remember butting heads with, like, you know, with Lance and his team back then because, like, I was on Phonak, we were trying to stay up front. And, you know, they didn't like it that we were trying to stay up front. Everyone's has their lead out trains, you know, but that's in the first week. And, you know,
how much ego is there and kind of like testosterone floating around with that fighting for position?
You know, there's a bit of that, you know, some people feel like they deserve to be up there more than others. Some people feel like the other teams don't deserve to be up there. And, you know, there's a bit of that. There's a bit of hierarchy, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's a bike race. So,
like, I seen Nicholas Roach from Sunweb is doing. He's obviously Irish. Yeah. He's doing an article every day in the local newspaper here.
Nice.
But he was talking about Janssen off Jumbo Visma, like completely fucked him out of it the other day, and like calling him a prick. And then Roach went up like 5K later to apologize and say, "Look, obviously we had a misunderstanding." And your man just fucked him out of it again.
Oh, really?
As like the balls on this kid, because, you know, Roach is quite a senior rider in the peloton
sure.
Now.
Where it's all. Oh, yeah. He's incredible. Yeah, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been in the professional peloton. But, yeah, it gets chippy. You know, everybody's stressed out. Everybody's got a radio in their, you know, ear. And everybody's director is telling them to get up to the front, you know, stay together as a team. And, you know, the road is only so wide, and the road can only fit so many people at the front.
Do you miss it when you're sitting down now watching on the TV?
And what's that?
Do you miss it now sitting back watching on TV? Is it kind of hard to watch?
Oh, no. It used to be a long time ago. It was hard to watch, not anymore. No, I appreciate them, all these incredible riders. Yeah. I feel like the levels, the overall level is that much higher than back when I raced. You know, I feel like the riders are that much more professional these days and focused. And
but yeah, I guess you guys kind of brought in that.
It's a lot of fun to watch. You know, I'm enjoying it again. You know, I took some years where I really didn't like watching, or I had a hard time watching it, but. But yeah, the last few years have been just incredible.
I guess you guys kind of ushered that era of real professional cycling. Like, I know it's always pro, but that really going and preparing, like shedding weight, real focus on numbers. That's ever since your era. It's just been like they've been building on that, building on that, building on it every year nearly.
I mean, maybe so. I mean, we stayed really focused and trained really hard. And I believe back in my day, like not everybody focused that much and really dedicated themselves. But I feel like today, I mean, those secrets are out. You got to stay focused. You got to train extremely hard. You got to rest extremely hard. And now everybody seems like they're doing that. And, you know, everybody's training with doing a lot of specific work training, less coffee shop rides. And, you know, people are, and nowadays you can't really hide, right? You got to send in your training data to
like
your coaches and directors and all that. So like, you know, whatever are some of our favorite work, whatever, like the 40-20, everybody's doing 40-20s these days compared to, you know, back in my day, not many people knew about 40-20s.
What are you like as a coach, Tyler? Are you pushing your athletes pretty hard?
We like to push our athletes hard, but yeah, also rest hard, certainly. And, you know, everything in moderation. Like most of our athletes, I'd say are like weekend warrior types and, you know, have busy day jobs and families. And the most important thing is having fun and, you know, getting healthy. And, so yeah, we try to have a lot of balance, but yeah, certainly when it's time to train hard, when they're rested and ready to go. Yeah. We have them work really hard.
It's like, sure. We were talking about off air about how you categorize yourself as a social rider these days, but isn't it cool that you still have such a nice relationship with the bike? Because I know I've chatted to some ex-pros and some of them don't have that relationship with the bike anymore.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I think everybody kind of go once you retirement's hard. Retirement for a professional cyclist is hard. And, you know, you go through so many years where you're just living and breathing the bike. And then you get to a moment where it's time to hang it up. And, you know, some people just, you know, fall straight into a job, and other people not so much, you know, like me. Some people really just hang up the bike and think they'll maybe pick it up in a year or 2 years. And some people, you know, it's been whatever, a decade later, and their bike is still dusty, you know. I hung up the bike for a little while, and I think it was good for me to just to kind of take a few steps back and then I kind of came back to it on my own terms. And I really enjoy it now and love, I don't know. I mean, now I'm like, I like bike touring, like bike packing, which is probably shows my age. Yeah. Oh, getting out.
I'm with you on that, man. I'm all over that. I'm looking for a gravel bike at the moment.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's the, you know, yeah. Gravel bikes are the way to go, I'd say. And, you know, for anybody who's never done a bike tour, these days they call it bike packing. I'd say I'd give it a whirl.
Yeah, I'll have to try to get you over to Ireland. We're thinking about hosting a gravel race. Me and a buddy of mine, we're wrecking the route at the moment. So we're going to host one, trying to get a date for it, but next summer sometime, as long as COVID goes away. So we'll definitely try and get you over for that. It'd be a bit of fun.
All right, I'll ride in the group pedal.
last question on Tour de France, Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
This year, what I've noticed is Jumbo are obviously taking over the mantle from Sky, trying to control the race. But when it's got super hard, we've seen all the leaders really isolated. When in previous years, we're kind of used to seeing Sky with still having Froome, Thomas, and, you know, maybe Walt Powells or something still there.
Hey, Anthony, you cut out for a second, but I think you were saying that in previous years, yeah, we saw like kind of a team train up there,
yeah,
in the mountains. But now, when it gets super hard, it's just individuals. Yeah, it's like the top guy from each team. Yeah, we're seeing that this year. I don't know. I think it's kind of fun that way. It's a little bit more exciting. You know, anything can happen, right? And everyone's really fending for themselves, and it's really mano a mano.
Okay,
so Tyler. For me, it's making the race more exciting.
Call your podium. Who was it?
Oh, Roglic, Pogacar. Is that how you say his name? And who's going to be third? It's going to be third. I'm going to say Quintana.
Ooh, big call.
What do you say? That's not bad. I think that's a good prediction.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I'm going to go Bernal for the win. Roglic second and Pogacar third.
Okay.
I think Bernal's going to come good in the third week.
Yeah, I just I kept hearing people talking about how brutal the third week is in the Tour this year. And so I went and looked. I looked yesterday online. And it is pretty brutal. And yeah, Bernal is going to, I think he's going to be do really well in the high Alps. You know, he I think his hometown in Colombia is like whatever. It's over 2,000 meters. So, you know, he'll probably excel in the high mountains. But yeah, and he's got a good team behind him. That's for sure. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Tyler, you're a legend. Yeah. I appreciate you joining me again for a little brief Tour de France catch up.
Hey, good talking to you, man. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you soon.
There we go, folks. It was awesome to catch up with Tyler Hamilton and hear his thoughts. He gives an insight that there's few men on the planet can give us about the Tour de France and about cycling. I love the way Tyler, he's such a laid back, casual dude. But make no mistake, the words that come out of Tyler's mouth, they carry such weight. It's not a random cycling pundit on GCN talking about stuff. It's experiences that are learned by hard work, miles, hitting the deck, stress in the peloton. So it's just absolutely brilliant to get his insight. I always love catching up with Tyler. I recorded a full feature-length episode with Tyler a couple of months ago. If you haven't listened, that's definitely worth going back to check out. Guys, thanks for listening to today's Tour de France podcast. It was a big day for Irish cycling. Tomorrow we are going stage 11 from Châtillon Plage to Poitiers. It's 165 kilometers with one category 4 climb. So we can expect Sam Bennett to be there or thereabouts and defending his green jersey again. Just a gentle nudge, guys, if you haven't done so already, to head on over to patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. Patreon is the place you can go and support this. A daily Tour de France podcast puts massive strains on everything financially. So it's just getting those little contributions in makes such a difference to the longevity of this podcast. Thanks for supporting us, and I will chat to you again tomorrow. Enjoy your day, Roadman.